With the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from the Gospel according to St. John chapter 1, 8 verses from the beginning of this chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This far I desire that we read in our first reading with the help of the Lord. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us kneel down together and join our hearts in prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee with the desire of our weak hearts to worship Thee, we pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that Thou open our hearts to the guidance and instruction of Thy Holy Spirit. That Thou, O Heavenly Father, bless our souls with Thy presence and with Thy rulership. That Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, as Thou didst in the times of old to the children of Israel, the abundance of Thy blessings. Thou hast blessed their fields and their vineyards and their orchards, their flocks, and above all, O Lord, Thou hast blessed their families, that with joy and gladness they could gather before Thee around Thy holy altar and offer sacrifices of gratitude and love. For great is the God, Almighty Creator, that has blessed them. And of the firstlings of all the increase of their fields and their flocks, they offer the first fruit as a sacrifice of gratitude to Thee, Almighty God. To acknowledge before Thee, O Lord God Almighty, that Thou art gracious and loving and merciful, Heavenly Father, and that we all need Thy goodness and grace, Thy forgiveness and Thy loving kindness. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou also bless us today, as Thou hast granted to us peaceful hours in the morning around Thy holy word. Grant us again, O Lord God Almighty, an open fountain of life, a pillar of light. Thou grant us, O Lord God, an open heart and mind to this holy and blessed word of Thine. Gracious Lord, we do acknowledge before Thee that Thou art the Creator of the universe, that Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that we, as weak and as small as we are, we cannot make Thy glory brighter. We cannot exalt Thy name higher in honor, in reverence, for Thou art above all, O Lord. And yet, we pray that Thou grant us a portion, that Thou grant us participation in that glorious glorification of Thy holy name, O Lord, that together with the heavenly angels and with all Thine redeemed ones that are still upon the face of this earth, we may also offer praises, that we may bring to Thee an offering of reverence, honor, and glory, that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For truly, O Heavenly Father, only Thy goodness and grace sustaineth our souls upon the path of righteousness. We acknowledge before Thee, O Lord, that we are no better than the multitudes of the mankind that is groping in darkness, not knowing thy goodness and thy mercy, O Lord. And the multitudes that could not care less for this abundant blessing of thy grace, O Lord. And yet, it was thy goodness and thy mercy, following us in all the days of our pilgrimage, that has taken us out of darkness. It was the voice of thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that has called us, and thou hast fulfilled that gracious and loving truth of thine, that the hour now is, that even the dead may hear the voice of truth and live. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that new life in Christ. We praise thee for this holy word of thine, the blessed gospel, the teaching of salvation. O Lord God Almighty, may our soul ever glorify thy holy name, and all that is within us, may all of it ever magnify and exalt thee, for great thou art, and great is thy goodness and mercy, perfect is thy faithfulness, O Lord. We are walking here as pilgrims through the valley of this shadow of death, surrounded with the tumult of the world. Sin and evil of every kind, darkness that has fallen upon all nations, surrounds us on every side. And yet, O Lord God Almighty, thou hast given us this light of thy truth. In the tempest of this world, thou art our peace. In the sadness that is spreading far and wide, O Lord God Almighty, thou art our joy. When we are weak, thou art our strength. When we seek thee, O Lord, thou art revealing thy goodness and mercy always anew. So, for all that abundance of thy love and loving kindness, O Lord, we thank thee. Blessed be thy holy name. Glory and honor belong to thee, O thou King of saints, King of kings and Lord of lords. May our heart ever be thy domain. May thy Holy Spirit fill us and rule our lives. May thy word be proclaimed by us also, as it was in the beginning by thy holy apostles and the faithful disciples. O grant us, Heavenly Father, the joy and the delight of the redeemed souls, to deny everything that is in this world, and with our whole heart and mind, our whole being, to embrace this living word of thine, and with love and gratitude to walk in the steps of our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou ever grant us that delight of thy heavenly peace, peace of a conscience purged from sin and evil by the precious blood of our Lord, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Thou grant us that heavenly peace of a conscience that is relying wholly upon thy help, thy protection, thy guidance and instruction. Glorious and loving Heavenly Father, from the bosom of thy great might, by thy creative power and thy almighty word, thou hast created the universe and the heaven, and heavens above heaven thou hast established to be the dwelling place of thy glory. And yet, O Heavenly Father, thy glory is everywhere. After so many centuries of evil, of sin, after so many disasters, so much bloodshed, O Lord, still, as we look around far and wide, in the beauty of the nature, in the height of the skies, in the bodies earthly and heavenly, we can see the seal of thy creative power. And when we open this holy book of thine, O Lord, we see thy goodness and mercy, thy grace, calling the mankind, inviting the souls that are heavy laden and the hearts that are burdened with sadness to find peace and joy of thy salvation in Christ our Lord. O Heavenly Father, that is our prayer and our asking, that as thou hast commanded us, that we, in obedience, with faithfulness, with zeal and fervor of the holy apostles, by thy Holy Spirit, may walk upon that path of righteousness and proclaim thy goodness and mercy and herald thy righteous judgments, that as long as the day of grace is going on, O Heavenly Father, all those that thou hast redeemed, all those whom thou art calling from the world, may seek the salvation in Christ and find that blessed peace and joy of heaven that thou art, thou alone, giving. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for still being the same God of goodness and mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for helping the weak, strengthening the weak, for healing the sick, for seeking the lost, and opening the door of thy goodness to those that are knocking, for revealing thy truth to those that are seeking. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for giving life to the dead and comfort and joy to the sad. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for giving to us, so weak and small, a portion in that grace of thine to minister to the others and to share thy love and loving kindnesses. Gracious Lord, we are weak and small, and we are quite imperfect, but thou art God, and thy goodness and grace is sufficient for all our needs. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, to thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory, and we pray that thou grant us thy presence and thy guidance, that we may worship thee with joy and gladness, with love and gratitude, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, as we are gathered now, as we pray, as we praise, as we thank thee. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, and also when we are not together in the flesh, that we may continue in that peaceful Christian love. Bless thou our souls and make us peace-loving, peace-making, peaceful children of thine, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, that do not desire the sinful joys and pleasures of this world. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, for all thy goodness and grace, for thy multitude of thy loving kindnesses, glory, glory and honor to thy holy name forever. Amen. In our second reading, let us continue on the verse number 9, the same chapter 1, Gospel according to St. John, and let us read to the verse number 16. U nastavku našeg čitanja, želim da čitamo iz ove iste glave, Sveto evanđelje po Jovanu, glava 1, od 9. do 16. stiha, nama za nauku i utvrđenje naše u veri u našeg spasitelja. St. John 1:9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. This far I desire that we read in our second reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. Even since the beginning of the humanity living upon the face of this earth and striving and struggling to somehow adjust living on the earth in a way that would be at least a little bit better than yesterday. Since that beginning, since Adam and Eve started laboring and eating their bread with the sweat of their eyebrows, until today, there is a struggle, there is a battle going on. In that battle, the humanity is often wondering and searching, what is the meaning of this life? And so we see, even today, that there are poor and wealthy. There are organized people and the people living in a very primitive way. And among them all, we see those that are very unhappy, very displeased, very depressed, very disappointed. And yet, here and there, we see some people among the poor, among the wealthy, among just about any group of the human societies, that are somehow at peace, as if they have found something that the others did not. What was the condition, or what was the reason that some people are so unfortunate, having plenty of food and raiment and just about anything that the others would desire to have, and still not having peace and joy in their life? What was the reason that in the beginning of this gospel we read about the beginning, when we have a fairly detailed description of the beginning of the creation in the first chapter of the scripture, first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then, so many centuries after, and even after the earthly ministry, the preaching and walking upon the face of this earth in the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again after so long, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There was a question in the human mind, where did I come from? Where was the beginning of that all? How this world came into existence? But then there is the other question. Where am I going to? What is the destiny of my pilgrimage? The answers to these two questions determine the happiness of the mankind. First, in order for the people to recognize, to understand their destiny, they ought to know where did they come from. And God, being the creator and knowing the nature and the need of human souls, gave that instruction, that explanation, that in the beginning He created the world. That humanity, or the mankind, was created by the Creator. Now those that recognize that and that realize that they are only creatures, but creatures created by a great and glorious Creator, they have one answer. They know where they came from. But once we realize that God is our Creator, we understand that there should be a relationship between the Creator and the creature. That when God created man, He has given him His holy word, this holy scripture. In the beginning, it was a few words, and later on, a few books. And now, we have the whole Bible. by understanding the will of God, knowing the way of life, and obeying the word of God, we receive that peace that no riches, nor poverty, no health, nor sickness, no pleasures, nor suffering can give to the mankind. Now the enemy of our souls, the evil spirit, knowing how important that is, that men would know their origin, that they should know their Creator and His will. That enemy, from the beginning, desired to confuse human mind. First, accusing that the Creator is not gracious but selfish, that He is not loving but stern, and then later on, that His word is not truth but deceit. And so those of the mankind that believed the enemy and turned away from the truth of the word of God have become the unhappy, the unfortunate, the disturbed consciousness. So in our days, the modern times, the enemy has created his own teaching that God is not the creator, that everything has come into existence just by chance, by itself. Everything was just rotating and spinning and spinning and spinning, and finally came into existence as it is today. Imagine that kind of thinking, that kind of a quote logic, unquote, that something came into existence by itself. Today, when the modern people know so much about the basic laws of creation, so-called laws of physics or chemistry, or the laws that God has created to keep this earth and the universe in some kind of a balance, some kind of a coordination, coordinated existence. Today, when the people know that this very complicated system that is human body, human flesh, human brain, heart, and the whole body is functioning in such a way that no human mind could ever design, and such a creature, such a life, physical life of a man, can be stopped by a tiny virus, just by a very invisible sickness or some kind of a disorder, can stop that life. They still tend to believe that deception, that everything could have come into existence without an intelligent power, without the mind and power of God, the Creator, that everything came into existence by chance. And the people that believe that have an emptiness in their heart, and they run after the earthly, sinful pleasures, and often after cruelty and misery, trying somehow to fill that vacuum in their soul, and they never find the true peace. So once again, after so many years, the Lord is giving us a reinforced, more spiritual message, not only of the physical creation, but also of the new creation, which is new life in Christ. So we read here that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not just a simple word that we could spell or write on a piece of paper, but the expression of God's power and God's might. In the beginning, we read here, was the Word. We could translate that perhaps in today's English and say, in the beginning, Christ. The expression of God. The only revelation that the mankind ever received about the great creator of the universe. And everything is made by him, through him, and for him. And without him, there is nothing made that was made. In him is life, and that life is giving light to the mind of the mankind. Now, what is that light? Light is the opposite of darkness. And what is darkness? Well, we could say the absence of light. But really, in darkness, we see nothing and know nothing. Total ignorance is darkness. Then what is light? Light is the true knowledge. And when we look around in the nature, and when we see how a seed falling into the ground will germinate, will sprout, will grow, and become a plant, and that plant will have perhaps flowers, and then seed, and that seed again will produce the same plant if sown alive. Then we can know. We can receive some knowledge just by observing, just by watching, that life, so wonderfully created, must have a creator. It's just against any reasonable thinking to believe that could have come into existence by itself or by chance. That knowledge of the God of creation, God of the universe, is light, or at least the beginning of that light. When we realize that God is the creator and that we have some obligation before God, that God has given us this life and this time and health and strength and all the opportunities, that we would do something with that we would find the purpose, the meaning of life, and serve that purpose and that meaning, to be a part of that great creation, not only as a plant or as an animal, but as a conscious creature that knows the will of God and willfully, gladly, and even joyfully does what the will of God is. So, living in Christ is the light of man. That verse number 4 is so filled with the message of the Bible. In Christ was life from the beginning, and the life was the light of man. In Christ is life today, and those that walk in Christ, as he said himself to his disciples, ye are the light of man. So, we have a song that says that he is the light and we are the rays. He is the body, the head, and we are the members of his body. That light shineth in the midst of darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That darkness first cannot understand that light, and we see that there is in this world there is no understanding of the gospel of God. And then it says that darkness cannot understand it, but darkness also cannot prevail against that light. You know that in the past times, and even in the beginning of the New Testament, when the apostles were preaching the gospel, that there was great persecution. The rest of the religious world, as much as they were against one another, they all were united against Christ and the gospel of Christ. And yet, they could not extinguish the word of God. And even in these days, the enemy is trying in every way that is available to him, in every possible way, the enemy is trying to extinguish, to do away with the light of the truth, and yet cannot. There is always a tiny remnant saved by grace. And occasionally there is a surge, a tide of the grace of God, and many get saved. In the verse number 6 we read, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, that is, to proclaim the beginning of the gospel and to announce that the true Savior and the Messiah is coming to be the Savior of the mankind. In the verse number 7 we read that he came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. All that heard John could have believed through his preaching. He was not that light himself, he was not the source of light, but he was in the service, in the ministry of that light. And so should we be. Everyone that truly and sincerely believes the word of God and is following in the steps of the Savior is sent by God to proclaim this gospel. When we know that, that gives to us new joy and new peace, because we know that God protects his word and those that are messengers of his truth. And even though we have difficulties, these difficulties should not be an obstacle in our service to the Lord. Rather, our guards and sometimes our guides. Because the children of Israel, being an example to us, often in their difficulties, in their struggles, were very close to the Lord. And in their abundance and peace and easy living, they wandered away. So the Lord is allowing the difficulties to come our way so that we might experience the more abundant grace of His and that we might be closer to Him in our fellowship with Him by this word of truth, the word of light, and by His Spirit dwelling in our hearts and ruling our lives. Here we read that true light was there, and it lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We hardly can imagine anyone, even a man that would be deprived of a few basic major senses that we have, like vision. If someone was born blind and deaf, could not hear, could not talk, could not communicate, still that person could sense something of that light that is in the world, that is in the physical, organic world. And also, every person has a deep inward sense that there is something beyond this life that we can touch and feel and see. That there must be one that is the creator of the whole universe. That light, the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the world, the same world that was made by Him, and yet the world knew Him not. This indicates how much the world was deep in sin, in transgression, how far from the truth, that their senses, their understanding was discapacitated, somehow made unable to understand that light and to receive all the benefits of that light. The Lord came to His own. He did not come to the creatures that cannot understand His divine presence, His power and His might. He came to the human beings, they that were created in the image of God, and they received Him not. And yet, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. To those that small number, that tiny part of humanity that received the gospel, that turned from darkness to this light, that desired to change their way of living and to live in Christ, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, to become God's family, He changed their life. And that is what we find in the gospel as repentance, as new birth. That new birth, we read here in the verse number 13, is not in any relationship with the first birth. They were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That first birth, usually, in a natural and normal way, here on this earth, is in connection with all of these. It's by blood and by the desire of the flesh, and then by the desire of man. It's built in, it's inside, to reproduce, to regenerate, to continue the life upon this earth. But this new birth has no relationship with the first one, or does not depend on any of those components that are put together to bring about that new life, if that was the will of God. So we read here that those that believed, that received the gospel and became the sons of God, or the children, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, the bearers of this holy testimony, they were born of God. In the verse number 14, the Word was made flesh. Actually, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took upon Him flesh, and He came to this earth to be born as a child, a man-child. And He dwelt among the other people, among His disciples, and they looked and beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How did they recognize Christ as the Son of God? Since they did not know the whole truth. The disciples of the Lord knew nothing about Archangel Gabriel coming into Mary, the virgin that was espoused to be married later to Joseph, that carpenter of Bethlehem, that lived later on in Nazareth. They did not, in all probability, know the whole story, what happened. And yet, when they came and they saw and observed the way of living of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, they saw that He was full of grace and truth. That is the mission of the Christians today. To be more and more, from day to day, filled with the grace and truth, and that way proclaim the message of the gospel. That's the meaning of this life. Without that message, without that fulfillment of the grace and truth inside of us, our life also would be empty and miserable, no matter how much wealth or earthly goods we might have. And by the way, we don't, but even if we did. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." You see, John is proclaiming Christ, not himself. John is bringing the message of the gospel to the people, and the center, or the main line of his message, is proclamation of Christ being the Son of God. That's our message, though. John says that Christ was before him. In the beginning of this chapter we read, in the beginning was the Word. So, by living for Christ, in Christ, doing God's will, and following the teaching of the Lord, we proclaim that message, that since the beginning, God is. There is no end either. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Why? Why do we need grace for grace? Why not grace? Period. We read here, we read already in the verses 11 and 12, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. First, His own received Him not, but as many as did receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. So, yes, the Lord came and He proclaimed that grace of God, and still, who did believe? So there was additional grace to those that did believe. And as the days are going on, each day anew, we need that grace for grace. Grace follows grace, and that grace of God is flowing like a river, and our heart and our life becomes a channel to proclaim the grace of God to the others, to share with one another, and then to invite the others. That's the reason of our living upon the face of this earth. Then we read in the verse number 17 that when we read the law, from the beginning of the commandments of God, that God is the only God, and, O Israel, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and mind and strength and thy whole being. And we see that until Christ, no one was able to fulfill that law perfectly. Only Christ, being in the nature like the Father, fulfilled that law. Perhaps we can receive some additional understanding of that perfect unity between the Father and the Son when we meet someone who understands the Scripture and we see that we have identical understanding. And when we see that between that person and myself, there is the same desire and there is such identity, such unity, then what do we feel? Of course, we feel great love. Because we feel that we are one in Christ. So the desires of the Father and of the Son were one, and their love was perfect. In the best case, our love is still imperfect. But the love of Christ was perfect all the time. So, of His fullness, we all have received grace for grace. First, He declared the grace of the Father to us. Then, He showed us the example. He lived it. And then, He taught us, He explained how we also can follow Him and live in the grace of God. Here, in the verse number 18, we read that no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So, when we believed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then we realized how great, how glorious, and how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. There is no other way to understand the nature and the greatness, the glory and majesty of the Heavenly Father, but only through Christ our Lord and Savior. The closer we walk with Him, the more we obey Him, the more faithful we are, the more we realize how glorious and wonderful our Heavenly Father is. Now, the enemy, knowing that, knowing how important that is to recognize God as our Creator and to understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our Savior and there is none other the enemy tried to destroy that truth or to darken human minds, that the scripture, the word of God, is just a story, just a fable or a myth, not the truth. Now, the people that do not believe the word of God find it difficult to believe that by the word of God, by his power, by his expression of his creative power, God has created the whole world. They find it apparently quite impossible to believe that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. They find that that's beyond reasonable belief and understanding, that God could make man out of the dust of the earth and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. But now let's think for a moment. Today, men were somehow able to devise very strong destructive means. When we see a great explosion that destroys so much in just one moment of time, how great power that is. Now think about creation. That's the same thing, just reversed. The opposite of destruction. Now, men used the gifts of God to create destruction, and they still find it difficult to understand and to believe that God has even greater power to create, to make whatever his will is. Yes, God did create the world in 6 days and did celebrate 7 days, the day of peace and joy. And in Christ, we have that celebration, that seventh day, the day of grace, the day of offerings of gratitude and love to our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, we see how short this life is, and all the difficulties are but for a time. But the peace that he has given us, and the joy of his salvation, the meaning of our living upon the face of this earth is growing, and we become more and more aware that just a few years more, just a few days more, just a few steps forward, and we will be forever united with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And even if this world would continue for many centuries, which is quite unlikely nowadays, but if it would continue for many centuries, and even if everyone could have all the wealth and the joys of sin, which again is not likely, but even if that was like that, if one person or a nation lived in good health, in wealth, in joy, in pleasure for many years, what a misery in comparison with peace and joy that God gives, and with that blessed eternity. All of that is nothing. Therefore, we follow the Lord. Therefore, we see that there is no greater gift but the gift of grace and salvation. And of course, it's only natural that we desire the same grace of God and the same gift of salvation to everyone. So we strive to live with the help of the Lord and by his grace in such a way that would be a continual invitation: come to the Lord and find salvation in Christ. For God's great goodness and mercy, for his love, his compassion, his understanding, his patience, and his loving kindness, for the salvation in Christ, and for this blessed word that is our food from heaven, to Him from our hearts. Be glory and honor, worship and praise forever. Amen.